What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Matrix Assassins. I am one of your hosts. You can call me Velo.
And I'm Nicole.
Nicole, how's your day going today?
Oh, it's been good. Good for a Wednesday.
Little Wednesday. Did you hump somebody you loved?
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. I've never heard it that way, put that way. Well, the weather is getting really nice here, so I sat outside for a while.
Oh, that's nice. My cat kind of humped me this morning.
And oh, no way.
It made me feel a little happy.
Aww.
But not in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
It was just like a love situation. But anyways, we just wrapped up another episode in the books. This one was with Jennifer Longmore. She's the founder of the number one Akashic Record Training School. And this episode, we really focused on how to emancipate yourself from the matrix. Nicole, what did you think of the episode?
Yeah, it was really interesting. We went into a lot of different topics, kind of like free flow conversation. I think I'm most interested in just learning more about the whole emancipation process from different areas, such as, you know, like medical emancipation, tax emancipation. You know, there's just a bunch of them. So that was really cool to get into.
Yeah. And I also loved how she talked about how to outcreate the matrix and things that we need to do to become more sovereign so that we can live our best, most authentic lives. And a lot of that revolved around how to access the Akashic records, which I never really knew about. I've heard about it here and there, but to have her define it and really talk about it and how we can utilize it in the day to day, I thought was fascinating. So before we drop this episode for you guys, if you want to head over to www.matrixassassins.com, you can find our merch. That is a great way to support us. That's also a great way to support your body. Your skin needs some really trendy sweaters and tanks and cloth. So go clothe yourselves at matrixassassins.com. Another way you can support us, you can like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple. And you can head over to our Instagram account and follow us at Matrix Assassins.
And before we press play, this episode is brought to you by Blue Shield. Blue Shield is a frontier in the realm of EMF technology, and they have a variety of different devices. You can get a device that covers your entire home and office, or you can also go with an auto device if you're driving a lot for work. And they also have a bunch of portable devices if you want some lasting protection as you go out shopping or running errands and whatever has to be done outside.
Assassinating the matrix.
That's true too. So if you'd like to find the link for that, it's on our website at www.matrixassassins.com under the sponsors tab, and you can use the code MATRIX at checkout for 10% off. For more information on Blue Shield, we also have information stored in our highlights under EMF protection on both of our accounts.
And with that said, Nicole, are you ready to exit the simulation?
I am.
Let's go.
We have temperatures right now in the 60s.
This bag right here.
You don't have to.
Welcome to
Matrix Assassins.
Two real girls in a simulated world.
Welcome to another episode of Matrix Assassins. Jennifer Longmore is the founder of the number one Akashic Record Training School in the world and host of the popular Soul Journeys and Seven-Figure Club podcasts. As a former forensic investigator, Jennifer honored her calling to become a channel slash healer and has since taught over 100,000 people in over 100 countries to use their Akashic records to release deep-seated trauma, change their financial narrative, and build a better, bigger, and more fulfilling life in the 5D world. Jennifer, thank you so much for stepping into the game with us this evening.
Thank you. That's quite an intro. Whenever you have your own bio read back to you, it's like, oh, that's interesting.
You're like, whoa, I've done a lot of cool stuff.
I started changing around my bio. I think my team might have done that for me, but I realize over the last 2 years, particularly, that it's important for me to be really upfront with people that I'm like very awake to the matrix, right? Because it's kind of jarring for people to come into my world if I'm talking about Freemasons all the time and they're like, I don't know what a Freemason is and you sound crazy, right? So I like to give people a bit of a warning label before they come into my space, what they're getting.
Well, you're in the perfect place right now for that. And to start us off, we just wanted to ask about your background and how you got into the line of work you're currently in.
Yeah, thank you. So I grew up in a really awake family. Like I went for my first past life regression when I was 4. My maternal grandfather was a psychic medium with the police. He actually served in the Canadian Navy in World War II. And although he couldn't really tell me much, I kind of knew at that age, even like around 6 or 7 years old, that, oh, things weren't exactly as we were told. I'm not saying that things didn't happen because people get very upset. Like the Holocaust is really one of the only things you can't challenge in this world. It's an atrocious genocide, of course, but there's been way worse genocides and people don't have an issue, but they have a real issue when you even remotely imply that the same patterns that happened in the Holocaust are happening now. Anyways, I grew up very awake and I was always telling my parents when the phone was going to ring and who was going to call. And of course the phone would ring and it would be that person and whatever. But I went to school and I was freaking people out and I didn't know why, because I was just being me. I didn't know that I knew things that people didn't know that I shouldn't know, if that makes sense. So, in my late teens, I realized, okay, this curse, this seeming curse isn't going away. What if I just lean into it? And then I manifested a wonderful car accident when I was 21, and that opened me up to Reiki, and that kind of blended both worlds. So I had the intuitive side and then I had the energy side. And, but I still was following my path, the path that I'd paid a lot of money to pursue, which was forensics. And so I graduated when I was 23 and saw some things really quickly. I investigated a lot of crimes against children, investigated a lot of cults, investigated a lot of high profile politicians and, well, you name it, right? So fast forward even to now, people are like, you really don't like to follow authority. I'm like, well, when you know who people are behind the scenes, it's really hard to take direction from psychopaths, sociopaths, child molesters, and other types of people that are often, I'm not saying all of them are in positions of power, right? You get to see a different side of people. So anyways, I didn't really know that I had an entrepreneurial spirit until I took a quiz and I scored 100%. And I was like, okay, nice. This makes a lot of sense why I don't do well in, you know, in a job. And I respect people that have had them. And I know, you know, it turns out when I left forensics, I went to the largest corporation in Canada, which for anyone listening knows that it's an inverted triangle. Now, of course, at the time I didn't know, but my very first week on the job, I thought, did I join a cult? It had a very strong cult-like vibe to it. Of course, didn't connect the dots until, you know, I started connecting other dots around Freemason symbols and various things like that. But it really felt gross. It was just a weird, weird energy. And it was very much the makings of a cult, just the way they spoke and the vibe. And I didn't last long there. I couldn't stomach it at all. I couldn't stomach the culture. So I took the leap and started my business and the rest is history.
Okay. So I have to ask, offline, we talked about this too. You talked about you're going to be starting this webinar called Decoding the Matrix. And so yes. I want to hear from you what your definition of the matrix is.
Ooh, I don't know that I've been asked that. I feel like it's kind of this energy that I tune into when I talk about it. I don't know that I really define it. I think the matrix is just this entanglement of inversion and a lot of inverted triangles, right? Like the savior, sacrifice, suffering triangle, the victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle, various things like that. But it's really a tangled web of two truths and a lie and inversions and designed to bring forward, I'll say, a less than benevolent agenda. Mm-hmm. And it's very well planned out, I believe, very well orchestrated. And strictly from a business perspective, I look at the matrix sometimes, especially some of the ways that this agenda has rolled out. I'm like, you know what? kudos to them. That was good planning. If only more entrepreneurs could plan, like be this dedicated to their plan as the controllers are, right, to theirs. So I do think we can outcreate it. I think that we have to look at how the system has benefited us. Like even us right now being on Zoom and uploading this to a podcast and all of these own platforms, right? We're still using the system to outcreate it. And we're just being stealthy when we're doing it, right? And kind of bobbing and weaving the energies that might come at us, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. So I do think we can outcreate it. I think, especially if you look at the nonsense they've been doing in Australia recently with the weather warfare and stuff, I can't possibly know what's going to happen. I don't think any of us do, even if we think we do, because I see them moving timelines occasionally and stuff like that. But I do think there's a level of sophistication that for those of us that are awake, we really need to create financial fortitude because we need to be fully resourced to be able to bob and weave all kinds of things that are going to come at us. Like in a lot of ways, I feel like they're going to hit us with things that there's no amount of prepping you could do for it.
Oh, absolutely. I feel the same exact way. And that's a common theme that has come up with other guests as well. And I think it's just so important because it's crucial to still being able to maintain our, you know, individuality, our autonomy and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I've got physical gold and silver. I've got, you know, crypto. I've got lots of food stored and other resources like that, right? So I've got my ability to trade if I need to. I've got my ability to pay with gold and silver if I need to. I've got my ability to pay with crypto if I need to. Of course, fiat currency until such time as that's no longer around. And we've also been building a really solid local community here. We have all the restaurants that we go to that haven't been following the rules, the gyms. We have a few ambulance attendants in our group. So God forbid if something happens and we can't be accessing medical care because we're being discriminated against, we have people that know how to sew up wounds and deal with heart attacks and deal with broken bones. We have some medical staff that are in our group. We have people that do our hair, of course, because that's important to have your black market haircut. And I just had mine done like 2 weeks ago. And actually,
black
it's really
market haircut. Have,
yeah. Who else do we have in our group? Like we have some handy people, right? Electricians, car mechanics, tech stuff, definitely food prep. I can't even think of everyone in it, but and on top of that, a lot of supplements. We have like quite a good stockpile of things that we need, like vitamin IV bags and B12 shots and, you know, just stuff, right, to keep our immunity high, zinc and zinc homeopathics and things like that to be prepared. But like you said, I think that, and especially this year, I think it's an expect the unexpected kind of year. When people are like, why are you watching the halftime? I didn't watch the halftime. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I saw people posting about that and they're like, oh, a QR code on the screen. Isn't that cool? And I'm like, no, it's not cool. Actually, they're training you how to go up to your TV and scan it if you want something. How is that good? But anyways, I made a point of watching the halftime because I know that's how they communicate to us, right? For the next season for the humans. And so I unpacked it and it's interesting to see what they had on that. I don't know if either of you watched it or not.
I did too. I always watch for that same exact reason. Always.
Because we're not really watching it. We're analyzing it.
Yeah.
Like totally. It's different, you know?
Yeah. I think for this one, there was the huge messaging behind electric vehicles, obviously. Like that was a huge theme throughout a lot of the commercials. And it's been continuing to intensify, especially now with everything going on with the gas prices and the Russian-Ukrainian war.
Yeah, the war.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like I found it quite disturbing. And I'm sure that goes without saying to everyone listening because we're all awake, right? But I don't know if you noticed the little alien heads that were on some of the stages on top of the building that they were singing and dancing on. But if you go back and watch it slowly, at first it looks like it's just a ball or something. But then when you look, they're actually alien heads on there. Like the typical ones you would see where they're white faces and they're a little bit angled and they've got the, mm-hmm. the black slits, right? Like very cartoonish almost, or animated. All of the military type of marching that came out of the Saturn's black box, I was like, ooh, that is, that's something. And then the whole dance with them in their prison garb or whatever, I don't even know what you call that, the beige mm-hmm. outfits with the white, I can't think of the name for that, but yeah. all of it, right? I was just like, oh boy. And I didn't even know that whole big long white cube essentially, right? Like, what was that?
So I saw some things about how it was like strikingly, it resembled the centers that are in Australia right now where they were quarantining people for COVID. Like it's, mm-hmm. it kind of like shows those like small containment areas. So I don't know if like that could correspond to what people talk about when, if the metaverse gets fully rolled out, having people living in like high density population centers sort of like stacked on top of each other, like in really like close quarters. I heard a little bit about that being a theme in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't tell it because at the time the trucker convoy was pretty active in Canada, and I couldn't tell if it was like a bunch of truck cabs or like shipping containers, I should say, that were kind of stacked together, or if it was, you know, camps, right? Because we've all seen those images. And anyways, it was disturbing. And but I remember thinking, oh, they've got a lot of interesting stuff planned this year. We've got aliens coming. We've got electric cars coming. We've got more military coming. We've got more lockdowns/lockups. I don't really know what exactly they're trying to tell us. So how do you prepare for that, right? Like at some point you have to just kind of get on with life and decide that you're going to take it one moment at a time.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you how did you get involved with your community where it sounds like you're building out these resources? Was it through a website of some kind? I know there's different websites out there that people have been using or ways to connect in their local communities.
It actually wasn't, weirdly. I'm a person that's just going to make things happen. And so I went to see my friend who's an esthetician, and she had just reopened. It was after the first lockdown. And I'm like, look, I want to come in and see you, but I'm not wearing a mask. She's like, you better not wear a mask in here. We are not wearing masks. We're not complying, blah, 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 blah. So I went to see her, and I could tell she had highlights done. I'm like, you got your hair done during lockdown. You've got to give me this person's name, right? So then I go connect with that person, and then she's already connecting with some people. My friend that I told you about, it's already connected with some people. She was raised by preppers, right? Like they already knew. She knew at 3 years old this was coming. Like imagine having your whole life being a cute.
It must be so validating to them now, you know, like after all that time and being told they're crazy for so many years, you know, now people mm-hmm. see like there's actually something to this.
Even how they present preppers on like Dateline in 2020, right? When you watch those shows and they make them look like they're crazy country bumpkins that are, you know, and I'm not saying anyone that is a prepper is, I'm just saying that they're the optics of how they control the story, right? Is quite interesting. So a lot of people I met through my friend, she runs a business, right? So she knows a lot of people. Sadly, she ended up getting really sick a lot, right? Because she's doing aesthetics, and the amount of people that got vaccinated, and I shouldn't say that, the amount of people that got the Freemason poison are like, it's astounding, right? And all the shedding, like she had to go to the hospital twice for an EpiPen because the histamine response was so strong in her body. She couldn't even see. She broke out in boils all over her body. I went to see her like 5 days later. She was still so swollen. I could barely recognize her face. Right. So anyways, there's a lot of impact, but I think when someone's self-employed like that and she makes a point of getting to know other entrepreneurs, it news travels pretty quickly. But I started just, part of it was, I think I just put it out there like, hey, universe, I'm ready for you to bring me the people that I'm meant to pack up with. Because I've also learned that you can't pack up with everyone. Just because someone's awake isn't enough, right? Like, I think there's a lot of trauma bonding in the awake community because it's like, oh, you're awake, I'm awake, yay, we'll be besties. And then you don't factor in some of the character issues, right, that are inherent.
That is such a fantastic insight because you almost forget about like kind of like the character flaws. Like just because you're awake doesn't mean a lot as far as character character things. I've had that realization too. Sorry.
Yeah, you think you think people are going to be getting it right? Like, hey, this is a pretty crappy time to be navigating. I mean, it's exhilarating, it's enlightening, it's all the things, right? But overall, like, if we didn't have to move through the planet this way, we would not be choosing it. Let's be honest, right? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, a lot of people, and I find too, like, I have a lot of people that are in their 70s and 80s looking to me to lead them through this. And I'm like, guys, I have the same information that you do. I don't have some magic chest full of information. I can source it the same way that you do, right? But they're not, a lot of people, even in the awake community, are not willing to lead themselves. And at some point we kind of have to, not because we can't link arms together, but like a lot of people, and we see it in our community, right? Where like the people that I call them, people that are eating Trumpkin pie, right? They, mm-hmm. they hear some truth or they feel some truth. And because it feels true, they don't factor into the equation that it has to feel true. It has to intuitively be true. And then you have to use your critical thinking and actually match it up with some stuff, right? Because feelings are not necessarily accurate. And additionally, as we know, some things can feel true and then people just blanket statement it all. Like, oh, well, if a little bit feels true, all of it must be true. And as we know, that's not the case, right? So anyways, but I just started reaching out to people because what are they going to do? They're going to tell me I'm crazy, which I know I'm not. Or they're going to be like, thank you for reaching out. Like the osteopath I have, I just reached out to him and I said, I don't know why. I just get the sense that you're awake to what's going on. I'd love to come in and see you. I don't wear a mask. And totally cool if you require that. I'm just letting you know up front so you can make an informed decision about whether you want to see me. And he's like, how did you know I was awake? And I'm like, I'm intuitive. Like, it's just the sense that I had. So then I introduced him to, you know, our group, and then he brought people in. And so it just compounded like that. Same with my naturopath. I said, I want to come in for vitamin IV. I don't want to put you out. I realize that people are probably really weird in your clinic right now, but if there's a way that I can come in and see you without a mask, in a way that works for you and doesn't put you in an awkward position, then let's figure it out. And her and I become really close since then, because, well, when I'm sitting in a chair for 2 hours bombarding her with information about the matrix, she kind of woke up pretty quickly. She knew something was off, right? Like, mm-hmm. she knew that this isn't a normal response to a virus, but she's sadly, and I guess in a good way, had a rude awakening to what's going on. But at the same time, I think it's a disservice. I actually think it's bordering cruel to give people false hope. Like all the people that are awake following Trump, you're already going through the excruciating awakening process. And then you're going to have to, at some point, if you're willing to wake up to find out that he's one of the biggest Freemason puppets on the planet. Right. And so I just don't think it's not for me to decide what people can handle, but I do feel like there's been enough ups and downs. We know that the matrix, or the controllers, I should say, like to give us false hope, and they like to give us a little bit of freedom and take it away. And they like to mislead us. And they, of course, like to infiltrate our space with a whole bunch of controlled opposition. So I don't think it's fair to someone to ride that roller coaster of having extreme hope and then having no hope and going up and down like that. So I'd rather just be upfront with people and, you know, give hope, but like we have to be realistic at the same time.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it seems like more people are kind of coming to terms with that truth that you just mentioned. But it definitely, I'm sure, it impacts some people a lot harder than others. But I think when you get to a certain point in your journey, nothing surprises you anymore. So I feel like I always go into these situations with like an ounce of scrutiny to begin with, just expecting to be disappointed, because it just almost seems like that's always sort of where things end up going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you shared that. I feel cynical at times. I don't like that feeling, because I wasn't cynical before. But exactly. Like you said, I kind of taper my expectations so that if I'm pleasantly surprised, that's great. Mm-hmm. But if it turns out to not be what I thought it was, I've started to learn, like in the first year of lockdown, we had a place in Canada called Adamson Barbecue. And I don't know if either of you saw it, but it was like really big on the world stage because they had at least, I'm going to say like 20 officers and their horses, like standing outside this restaurant for a whole day. And I'm like overnight and everything. They went after the landlord and said the land, like, we're going to do whatever if you don't, you know, close this place down. And I was getting emotional, right? Like I was feeling like a feral honey badger. And I was like, how dare they screw with this guy's livelihood? And 5 minutes down the road, the Costco restaurant's open. And how come his restaurant can't be open? Blah, blah, blah. But then, and normally I would post about something like that, but something in me wouldn't let me. And the next day I was shown all kinds of images of Freemason symbols inside this guy's restaurant. So he was just a plant on the world stage. So they managed to, I think, raise like about 500K through GoFundMe or one of those things, right? So extorting people's money, getting all kinds of people revved up, giving people hope, giving people a place to channel their energy, putting themselves in a position to be arrested for being unruly in public and all of a sudden not making it a peaceful protest and all the typical things they do. And it was that kind of solidified, like, oh, anytime I get really emotional, if I get an instant visceral reaction in my body, that's my cue to go, I'm probably being hooked by fear porn right now. I'm going to have to look into either this information or this source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so much of it's manufactured, that manufactured mm-hmm. sense of emotion. It is a good thing to like take pause and sort of look into it more than just what it's bringing up. But I didn't know, Vilo, did you want to get into some of the, I thought that it would be really cool to break down what the Akashic records are for anyone of our followers or people listening that might not know about them, kind of breaking down what they are.
Maybe we can just take a hard left really quickly and talk about the Akashic records and how this study of the Akashic records and learning how to enter that for ourselves can really bring out our true sense of selves and kind of guide us. Because as you were saying with Trump and QAnon, I almost feel like, and even with conspiracies, people tend to be preoccupied. It's this preoccupation with the external that keeps them and deflected from going internally. And I think that it's manufactured to do that. And I think mm-hmm. your work with the Akashic records can really help people bring it back from the external to the internal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, we've been trained for that. That's what TV does, right? Get me hooked on Friends every week. I watch it every Thursday. And then I have to wait from May until September to keep watching what's happening on the world stage. And I have to wait until September to find out if Ross and Rachel got back together. And that's just one show, right? If we're programmed over and over again with always having to tune back in next week and watch what's happening on the stage. And will they get together? Will they break up? Does someone come back to life? Like all the things we see on TV, they know that we've been very programmed to sit and wait to see what happens on the world stage. As long as they distract us, we will keep watching it. And most people don't know how to distract, most people don't know how to be an impeccable steward of their consciousness, right? Which is what the records do. And so they think that by constantly staying on top of what's going on the world stage, that they're going to affect it. But the only reason they're doing it is because they've been programmed to be distracted. Additionally, we don't know how to create the 5D reality. We keep saying we want this new timeline, right? But nobody knows how to create it. And so it's easier to feel busy. It's kind of like in a business where you focus on busy work instead of actually high dividend work, because then you actually have to move your goals forward. As long as I'm feeling busy by watching what's happening on the world stage and I can dissect it, then I don't actually have to shift my focus and make a hard left, like you said, and like look straight ahead and go, no, actually it's the light workers' agenda. We are going to, and the truthers, right? And the freedom fighters, we are going to be the ones that actually move this thing forward. The more of us that can take our attention off the circus act, the better. And so with the records, because the records are all about love and truth, that's all they are. It's a big divine energetic book, I'll say, full of all kinds of chapters about your life, right? Like, what's your purpose? Why did you choose your parents? Why did you choose to be born in the country you did? What are you here to learn? What are you here to master? What are you here to contribute to other people? you're bringing forward potentially residue from other lifetimes that need to be worked through in the spirit of evolving your soul. And of course, we choose the exact same things to also help us cultivate information so that we can, for example, host a podcast and actually add value to people, right? Because there's a level of mastery. So it's going to tell us what our soul's blueprint is in this lifetime. Like, what are we here to do? That's really why it's important for the Great Awakening, right? Like, what am I here to do? Additionally, what I've really started to see is that we're all coded for this time. So we have our blueprint for our whole lifetime, but then knowing that 2020 was coming and the whole Great Awakening, we're actually coded for very specific things. Like, as I mentioned before we started recording, I'm a big truth teller, right? Like, that's my love language, is telling the truth. that's just, and anyone that knows me will tell you that, right? And I do it from a place of love, but I am, you know, people are always going to know where they stand with me. And I don't like to lie to people. So it's been challenging, because to unpack the matrix at times, I've had to be kind of brutally honest, and I'd prefer to soften things, but some things we can't soften. But anyway, some of us are coded with almost like a consistent daily thing that we're meant to do. And some of us are going to just play one pivotal role in this. Maybe it's 5 minutes, but it's going to totally change the game. Some of us are going to be advocates. Some of us are going to be whistleblowers. Some of us are going to be giving people a platform for their voice. Like, there's all kinds of ways that we're coded for this time. And because we wouldn't be here unless we were meant to be here during this time for a variety of different reasons, right? So we came in with what we wanted to learn and experience during this Great Awakening, but also what our contribution is that allows for the Great Awakening to actually align to our agenda, because we're activating the codes and showing up, right? And I do believe it's going to be kind of impossible to not show up once the code is activated. Right. So for some people, they'll just be dormant. Like, there's a lot of people that we perceive as asleep right now, but they might just all of a sudden wake up one day and lose their marbles. And that the way that they do it, like, cracks things open in a way we never could have had otherwise. Right. Like, we know in the hospitals, for example, there's a lot of, I'll say, infiltrators that are on our side that are buffering people from certain things. And, you know, everything in between, right? So we're all kind of coded with, like, the person, I don't want to say too much, but just because I don't know who's listening, meaning, like, I'm sure that we have a broad range of people listening right now, right? Anyways, how do I want to word this? I'm stumbling. Okay. So what I will say is, part of why I want people to be fully resourced is because if we're going to outcreate the matrix, we're going to need certain functional things, pieces of paper, things like that, to be able to move freely through the world, to spread light, to spread our information, to do whatever. Yes. So I'll leave it at that and just say there's an ample amount of people that are professionals that are being of great assistance to people that want to keep their DNA intact. And I'll leave it at that. So, anyways.
What's up, everybody? Just wanted to quickly interrupt the show to let you know about our new sponsor, Coffee Conspiracy Co. Exit the corporate coffee matrix and tumble down the rabbit hole with Coffee Conspiracy. Founded in 2020, their mission is to expose the best coffee in the industry while throwing a red pill or two in along the way.
Ethically sourced, fresh, roasted, single origin coffee delivered straight to your door. Join our not-so-secret society and become a co-conspirator today. You can use coupon code MATRIX15 for 15% off your first order. Coffee Conspiracy, exposing the best coffee.
Okay, back to the show.
So back to the records. Aside from activating us to our purpose overall, right? Because there's a ton of people that had an existential crisis in 2020 because they kind of knew that they needed to find their purpose, right? But they didn't have enough of a oomph to do that. And then, as I mentioned, the codes, we're also going to be able to heal a lot of trauma in the records, because it's just your guides, like the beings that are on your side that are supporting us through this in general, but particularly through our life. We already came into 2020 with trauma, and then 2020 and onwards has been traumatic in its own ways. And then you know, there's compound trauma, there's vicarious trauma where we're seeing what's happening in Russia and the Ukraine, for example, and it's kicking up stuff consciously and unconsciously. And, but it's because it's all truth, right? Like that's all it is. It's a massive, massive illusion buster. So it's impossible to not know the truth. Like when people tell me that they're an Akashic Records teacher and they still to this day think it's just about a virus, I'm like, there's no way you're a clear channel. There is no way you're a clear channel. There's no way you are accessing the Akashic Records if you still think this is about a virus. It's impossible. I don't know what's happened for you. I'm happy to help you, but like something's going on with your consciousness, right? That you can't and or won't see that there's way more going on here than what you're being shown. So that's kind of my role. I think I'm kind of a decoder, right? I'm decoding the matrix. Part of it is my forensic background as well. Just being able to look for patterns and seeing certain things. And so that's, I've dedicated the last 2 years in particular to really decoding the patterns that I see so that people can outcreate the matrix, right? When you know what's coming, when you know that there's not really a war in Russia and Ukraine, then you don't get your consciousness hijacked. So all that energy that would have been spent going down rabbit holes over Russia and Ukraine can now be spent living your life, extracting your energy off the circus act, you know, moving forward with spending time with your kids or, you know, building a business or whatever the thing is that's actually in support of you that also is going to support humanity is a great thing to do.
So I had my awakening in the shutdown. During the shutdown, that's when all hell broke loose, so to speak. And I guess I've been having this existential crisis and starting this podcast and having this realization. And now I see everything with such a incredible new lens. And even when this Russian-Ukraine thing started going on in the news, I was now able to see it in a completely different way where I'm at the point where you were just describing that, okay, like I'm ready to take this energy and fuel it into something more productive. And I even feel like people that are awake, a lot of them spend a lot of time doing the digs and the analyzation where they're using all of this energy, again, like externally. But once you know this information, it's about taking it and implementing it into your own life to better yourself. And I think that's like the dichotomy of what's going on.
It's a never ending thing, right? I look at the world stage in part and I go, okay, what's really getting under my skin right now? And who does this remind me of? Right. So I'm not getting personal for the sake of like unpacking my stuff, but just to share it in case it helps people to look at how you might unpack how the matrix impacts you unconsciously. Right. So what really burns my butt on the world stage, because I don't focus at all on the numbers. I've never once focused, like, I don't know all the vaccine deaths and all this stuff. I just don't focus on it. It's of zero interest to me because I've known it's never been about a virus, right? And so I just don't put my energy there. Thank God there are other people that do. But for me, I'm like, why are we distracting all our energy on this? Because they're just going to keep, you know, like lobbing the tennis ball all over the place, right? And we're just going to keep chasing
ending.
It.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So what really irritated me is all of the deception, like the amount of energy that goes into deceiving. Like if you're so great, Freemasons that are listening, if you're so great and you're so superior and you want to beat us, why not make it a fair fight? Like really? What's with all this fancy, like talking in code and doing your hand symbols and stuff like that, that you look ridiculous. You really look pathetic and ridiculous. Right. But anyways, the deceivers on the world stage that, as I mentioned before, my human design is already going to find that irritating, but I had to look at it and go like, why am I so mad? Like I really start swearing like a trucker when I talk about the deception on the world stage. And I'm fine today. I don't know why I am, because usually I'm really fired up about it. But I had to go, okay, yeah, that reminds me of my parents, right? My parents, as are many of our parents, so this is why I share this, are really good at letting you know you have to behave a certain way on the world stage. We're going over to so-and-so's house to watch a movie tonight. We want you on your best behavior. Don't eat too much. Don't take seconds. Don't be farting at the table, you know, like whatever you're being told. And then as soon as you get behind closed doors, magically, you know, your parents maybe can control things when they're around other people, then magically they're behaving very different behind closed doors, right? That level of deception. And so that was a cool thing for me to unpack, because that was some unconscious trauma that I had, right? That I couldn't really understand why I was getting so angry. But I also, I've got to say, like, every time they turn up the temperature, I actually just use it for fuel. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, you want to play this? All right, I'm just going to go activate some more people then. And I just kind of get, I don't want to say cocky about it, but I just use it as ammunition for my agenda. And by my agenda, I just mean for all of us that, you know, want to liberate people from all of the silly business, right? And emancipate themselves from this. And so us constantly paying attention to what's going on the world stage, that's part of the emancipation journey we have to take, right? Like that is, that's indoctrination. That's indoctrination from TV. That's indoctrination from school, higher education, potentially, right? Of being locked into that kind of stuff. And one of the ways we get out of the matrix is learning how to emancipate ourselves from all the hooks and the fear porn and the programs, and recognizing what is a product of the system so that we don't have to participate in it. Like, I don't know how, I don't know for either of you, but I think, yeah, like I've had a personality assessment done and I have a low level of neuroticism, which means that the more stressful things get, the calmer I get. But I also have a very low level of agreeability. So if you're going to tell me to zag, I'm going to be like, no, I'm zigging. Thank you very much. Like, I'm just not, I'm very stubborn that way. I'm not going to follow a lot of rules. Of course, people like to say, you might remember this in 2020. Oh, does that mean you don't wear seatbelts too? No, of course. Oh.
Like, yeah, I hate that logic. Yeah.
Realistic thing.
It's like such a fallacy.
Yes, I wear my seatbelt and yes, I like pay people on time and stuff, right? But if they don't make sense, like, well, no, I mean, like, I think this will be the year that I fully emancipate myself from paying taxes, but, it's a journey, right? It's a journey to do that. Like, I feel like I'm pretty much fully emancipated from any indoctrination I had. And then I fully emancipated myself from the medical system. And then this, we were talking about cars before. I don't know what's going to happen, because in Canada, they have just decided to refund our stickers that renew our license plate. So we had to buy one every year. They've decided to refund us all for 2021 and 2022. Oh,
interesting.
That's interesting.
That's weird.
Huh. That's weird.
Why are you doing that? Because they're promoting these electric cars, as we know. And of course, all of the climate change stuff. But also it's this typical thing where they give us a little bit, right? To make us think that, like, to give us false hope and to also make us think that maybe they're not that bad. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, and oh, then, yay, a refund. And it's like, no, yeah. Sweetie, that's not how this is going to play out.
Yeah. So I think that the last places I have to emancipate myself is my driver's license. So I've looked at, and you probably had people on, right, that talk about the various, because there's a whole spectrum of like common law of mankind.
Yeah, trust law.
Natural law.
Natural mm-hmm. law, yeah.
And, you know, it's risky, right? Because so many cops do not know the law. They just don't. There are so many of them that were arresting people for not wearing masks. It's like, dum-dum. It's literally not a law. Well, no, like, educate yourself, right? When I worked in forensics, I had to memorize legislation. I had to know legislation inside and out. And I wrote a gazillion affidavits. So if you're not making an effort to understand, I know it's not really law, it's legal. I get that. But for argument's sake, we'll just call it law. It's not even a law. Like, you literally... And the fact that there, I have to say, this is my little rant for today, I guess. I'm really disappointed in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised, because I know they work for the corporation. But the level of, I'm just doing my job, like, where have we never heard, like.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, fine. So you're looking out for yourself. Just admit that when you say, I'm just doing my job, what that actually translates to is, I'm just looking out for me and my family. And I get that. And if they can't see that they're going to be fucked up the ass harder than everyone else, they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention. Their highest sacrifice, these Freemasons, high Freemasons, I feel the need to keep saying this. I don't know why. Their highest sacrifice is military and law enforcement, right? Like, these are going to be, they're going to pay a high price for turning against humanity. And it's not because we're going to do anything to them. It's because the system that they work for is going to screw them.
So I just have a quick question about the emancipation process and the different areas that you mentioned. So I guess if you wanted to like break it down, how do you go about starting that process? And I know it's probably different in each category you mentioned, but I just thought we could kind of talk about that a little.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the first part of the emancipation, I would say, is literally emancipating your consciousness from the systems.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It literally has to start at that level, right? So taking a look at, where am I following programs? Where am I feeling the need to raise my hand to speak? Or where am I feeling the need to enter a door or exit a door because a bell has rung, or any host of things, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm taking a course, do I feel the need to raise my hand and talk to the teacher? Like, what kind of very subtle or maybe not so subtle things are still present with how we've been indoctrinated? I do think, you know, and part of why, well, and then the religious imprinting, whether or not someone's religious, there's so much religious imprinting in the matrix as we know, right? And that just keeps breeding the whole savior, sacrifice, suffering triangle. And that's what we see infused in the royal family. We see that infused in the Catholic Church, starting with the Catholic Church and how it's bled out, government and so on, and why we have so many people following the rules right now, right? Because they are so indoctrinated into a worship culture, Hollywood, all, you know, all the things. And then the next layer, because it's kind of a process, right? Like, I don't think people can jump right in to take care of their license, for example, when they're still watching Netflix 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, yeah. Honestly.
Oh, true.
I mean, Netflix really now is the big programmer, right? Aside from social media, it's the big programmer. We're seeing in plain sight the amount of stuff that they're putting on Netflix. And I get it. We're used to being entertained. We've been programmed to not know how to entertain ourselves, so that we're relying on something outside of us to fill this need to be entertained. I see all kinds of people that are awake. They're like, oh yeah, I binged on Netflix all week. And I'm like, why would you give them access to your consciousness? Because it's not just what you're watching. Your right brain and your left brain are switching gears every 20 minutes. So that means in a 60-minute cycle, well, in a 2-hour cycle, you're going to be in your right brain at least half of that, which means you're highly, highly suggestible and highly programmable. Whether or not you're awake, it doesn't matter, because your brain waves have shifted, right? And then on top of that, I believe this is a frequency war that we're in. Oh, and I believe sure. that they transmit frequency through the devices. I think it's interesting that they want us on our phones all the time mm-hmm. and on the screens all the time. And so I genuinely believe that there are frequencies coming through these devices, right, that are you know, skewing our consciousness. I think it's interesting, and you probably picked up on it too, there's waves that we go through of people having suicidal ideation, like mm-hmm. people in the awakening community, right? But there's like a collective energy of it. Well, where does that come from? Because we're not all speaking to each other, because we don't all know each other. But there's like a wave of energy that'll come in that'll be that. And then it'll be despair. And then it'll be false hope, right? But I do believe that they're puppeting our frequencies, because they know how to read us. And that's just my 2 cents.
I've seen patents on that. Like, there is technology and there are patents around manipulating behavior and brainwaves through screens, televisions, and so forth. So I could only imagine, you know, what else is out there in that realm.
For sure. So I think it starts with us going, okay, where am I going to be an impeccable steward with my consciousness? Who gets access to my consciousness and who doesn't? That then allows us to have enough space to start practically unpacking stuff, right? And so, for example, my first thing to fully emancipate from was the medical model. People lost their shit when they heard me. They lost their absolute shit. And these are all awake people, I told. They were panicked, just projecting all of their own stuff on me. What are you going to do if you need blood tests? Well, why would I need blood tests? I know I'm in tune with my body enough to know what's going on. I've only ever gone to a naturopath and an osteopath as my primary caregivers. I don't have any use for the medical model. My body is like a flying saucer. So it makes no sense for me to go to a car or like to a auto mechanic. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're someone that's highly sensitive and you're very empathic and so on, your body just functions differently. The medical model has not only not helped my body, and that's not to say there aren't good people in there. And it's not to say that there aren't good things in there, right? For me personally, the medical model has not only not served me, it's actually done harm, lasting harm to my body. So I have no use for it. There's literally nothing there for me. That's why if I need, God forbid, stitches or I have a heart attack or something, we have people that are close by that can help us with that kind of stuff. People are like, what if you get in a car accident and you're really injured? I'm like, well, hopefully I'll die. But if I don't, like,
no, but no, I know, like, what you mean.
I know what you mean, yeah.
That was really bad. You get what I'm saying. Yeah, like, if I'm like,
yes,
if I'm going to be in a wheelchair,
exactly, yeah. Or like a vegetable,
you know. Yeah, just pull the plug.
Yeah. If I'm going to be a vegetable, just pull the plug. Like, I really have different spiritual beliefs too, so that's probably why. But I can pay for private medical care. That's another reason why we should be fully resourced, right? Is to make sure that we have the resources to, you know, invest in things that we may need. But overall, I'm not worried about it. I'm in Canada, as you're probably hearing from my accent, and we have socialized healthcare here. And everyone always says that they want to move to Canada. I'm like, well, okay, but you have to understand that you start being treated like you are on probation, right? Your doctor calls, it's time to come in for tests. Well, why is it time for me to come in to test? Because I said so. Well, and I don't answer to you. You want me to get tests and what? Right? That's my time taking away from my family and my business. That's me going and getting jabbed by a bunch of people that give zero you know what's about me and are probably injecting me with their bad mood, right? Because we know how much energy moves, right? And for what? So that you, like, why do you need that? I don't believe that giving blood is as much about what we have been told it is versus what it actually is. Meaning, I'm not even talking about blood donations. I'm talking about actual vials. I don't know why you need 8 vials to test me for 2 things. I don't know why you need that much blood from me. I just don't believe in it. I don't agree with it. I don't have an issue getting needles. I mentioned I get vitamin IV. But anyway, so people lost their marbles and I realized how much projection they had on it. And even I initially, when I decided I wasn't going to renew my health card, had a little bit of a wobble, like, oh my God, what happens if I break my leg? What happens? And as it is right now, I'm currently taking the CEO of my local hospital to task because she has said that you're not allowed in the hospital unless you can be treated, but you're not allowed to visit people if you haven't. So one of my clients last month, I think it was maybe about 6 weeks ago, her mom died and she had to manage everything from outside the hospital because they wouldn't let her in. So imagine having, because there's terrible. Only 2 funeral homes in my whole province that are willing to deal with you if you're unvaccinated, whether or not like you're the person that's passed or dealing with the family. And
is that in general hospital, or just in person? Like, do they not even allow you to?
I don't know about the Zoom stuff, but I'm at least in person.
Wow.
And they've dropped the mandates here, by the way, right? But they're still saying to people that they can use their own discretion. So for us, we have a public healthcare system, and yet they've allowed every CEO of every hospital to decide whether they're going to require it or not. And they've all decided, of course, that they're going to require it because they get incentivized big time by dishing those things out. So, it would be really unfortunate for her if she has to stop being an actor, because that's all she is, right? As an actor on the world stage, she's acting in the role of CEO. She's not actually acting in her role as human being, as a woman, right? So, so she, as a woman, can come and meet with me and explain why myself and other people wouldn't be allowed in her hospital. If God forbid something happens to my husband or my son or my parents or whoever, and I need to go in there and be supporting them, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be very unfortunate for her. We'll see how that works out. Maybe I'll have to come back on. And talk about
definitely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
have to come back on.
Want to know what happens with that.
Yes.
Yeah. But also another reason why people are considering getting the documentation they need to move around freely, right? Because it's actually less about them and it's more about the complications that can arise when you have, loved ones that have chosen to get the Freemason juice and the impact to their body, right? And the impact of not being by someone's side, you know, should something happen. Because people that are getting it don't understand. They just think that you're being selfish, right? So they don't understand.
They literally do not understand.
No, they don't. It's so fascinating to me. And I get it. You know, I have more respect for people that are getting it because they genuinely believe that they're doing the right thing for themselves.
I totally agree.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The ones that are doing it for humanity, I'm like, you can stop it with that virtue nonsense. Like, I'm just not available for that. What I really find puzzling is the amount of awake people that have gotten it. That's astounding to me.
I have a different experience. I feel like the ones that we encounter, at least, are not on that side of it. But I'm sure I have heard that there are a lot out there that have taken it. It's just interesting to hear. You know, I just haven't seen it as much as I've heard it being the case.
I've heard all kinds of silly business. I've heard things like, well, it's all consciousness and I believe my consciousness can override its consciousness. I'm like, too. All right, if you want to play Russian roulette with it, like, I guess there's nothing I can say. Do you play chicken with cars? Are you guzzling back windshield wiper fluid on the weekends? Like, there's a lot of poison and a lot of deadly things or risky things you're not doing that your consciousness should be able to override, right? So if I gave you a whole bottle of windshield wiper fluid right now to drink, you honestly believe your consciousness would prevent your body from getting either really sick or dying from that? You believe that? Because it's all consciousness, right? And they can't really answer that. They tend to yab at you. Some people, I heard a lot about just traveling. And then remember when they first did the travel thing and then they said, if you've had this, you're not going to be able to travel because of these medical issues, right? And I thought, okay, well, they're already inverting it against the people that are getting it, right? Which isn't a surprise. And I think they'll keep doing that, by the way. I think they'll keep messing with them because they know what the controllers are hearing is that they're easily puppeted and manipulated. So I think they'll just keep manipulating them because they get their jollies out of that.
I totally agree. And with every narrative that you see that's spun like into this dimension, you can see the people that are easily puppeted. It just like flips. Now it's the next narrative. Like right now it's like all lives matter in Ukraine. And then it's going to be the next narrative and you see it around. And it's just so, I didn't think people were so influenced until I started seeing these narratives like come at us so quickly and people changing so quickly with the narratives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole Russian-Ukraine thing is interesting, isn't it? Because I had made a post, someone had shared like on the ground resources, because I will not donate to any charities unless I know they're boots on the ground charities, because as we know, many of them are not above board.
Like Red Cross.
Oh my God. Yeah. No,
don't get us started.
As soon as I saw that, I know. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh. Yeah. So the truth is that people in both countries, in fact, all of the bordering countries in that area are going to be feeling the effects of that. They're still going to feel the energy. They're going to feel the cloud in the air. You know, I'm talking about the dense, like fear cloud that's in the air, right? Because most people won't know that it's not the way that we're being told it is. But people, like everyone's being affected by it. That's the thing. There's always going to be casualties of war, but it's not typically who we think it is. It's the people on the ground that have to deal with all the shenanigans, right? And for people to think that, I saw some posts, I saw one that people were like, poor Putin, that poor guy, he's just trying to get the deep state out of the Ukraine and everyone's just, and I'm like, oh God, you've got like, I can't even. And to think that the two of them aren't, you know, rubbing elbows at night, drinking a beer going, did you see what we did to the humans today? Oh yeah, that was a good movie, mate. I like the way you posed in that army fatigue. You looked really good in that. That was a good shot, right? Pose right, you know? Well, I can't even watch it. I don't even really know what's going on over there because I just know it's going to be a load of horseshit.
I mean, I feel the same way, you know, just, I haven't been putting my energy into trying to become a Ukraine Russian expert, you know,
yeah. But, or local commentator.
Yeah. Or local commentator. But I feel like it's so obvious that it's being used for an agenda, you know, like everything or surrounding it, all the fallout is like being funneled into making it even more convenient to continue forward and to just keep, you know, keep pushing the, you know, the issues with energy, the supply chain disruptions, the economy, you know, like all of that is the fallout from it. And it's so convenient that we can now blame everything on this situation instead of what was already culminating before. It's just, that's the thing that I've kind of noticed. And also, I know that we wanted to talk to you about what your take is on the global financial system as well. So I guess this is a good segue into that.
There's so much to talk about, isn't there? I really think people need to find ways to be in control of their own economy. And that's why I do what I do, right? That's why, like, I believe wealth consciousness is just an aspect of consciousness. It's just a part of the ascension journey, right? To elevate our wealth consciousness is really elevating consciousness on all levels. And I believe that wherever people can create their own financial freedom, that's going to be super smart. And unfortunately, a lot of people started late because they thought they had time, or a lot of people have been watching what's happening on the world stage and not kind of going into action, right? Interestingly, we're not in a recession. Like, they still haven't called it. This is a lot. This is many quarters, right, in a row where we're not actually experiencing a recession. Yeah, we're seeing some economic stuff, but we know it's all controlled. I do believe that people are going to need to be as diversified as they can, because we don't know what they're going to do. The rumor is that they're going to make everything digital and they're going to be putting chips in our hands and all the things, right? So it seems plausible that crypto and all of the things associated with, or I'll say associated with blockchain, right? And like the NFTs and various things like that are probably where people are going. And there's a lot of futurists that like playing out in that. I'm almost inclined to feel like we're going to have a few different currencies. And I don't really, I can't really say for certain, right? The stock market hasn't been as bad as they are telling us it's going to be, because I have a lot of stuff in the stock market. Now we know that they can crash that. Mm-hmm. I think what they're going to do, I think we'll see a bail-in. I think what we'll see is like what I notice on the Canadian propaganda machines. I happened to notice this last week. It was like Canada's military budget is 2% of what their allies need it to be at. And Canada's starting to stand out as a country that's just not contributing as much to the war in Russia, Ukraine. We're going to have to increase our military spend by 37%. Okay. Well, that's, how are they going to play that? That's a lot. So what are they going to do? They're going to say to my parents and people of that generation, you know, your parents went through World War II and now we're in World War III and there's an impending nuclear war. And I know you want a future for your grandchildren. Is it worth it for you to get your pension? Or are you going to feel better about leaving a legacy? And instead of getting your pension, just donating it back to the government so we can redirect it to the military spend so that your grandchildren don't die in a nuclear war. Right? That's how I could see them playing it. So I don't know that they're going to just come in and take everyone's stuff out of their bank account. But I do think they're going to find, just as they always do, find ways to either make it our fault or make it our idea. I think they're going to spin this to make people think that they're doing a good thing, right? It's part of the social credit. This is what the cocoa prepared us for, right? Is to stop being so selfish, stop making it about you. Even though you have zero worries about getting this virus, you have to do it for the good of humanity. And I think they're going to lead people right into that for, and not just in Canada, right? I think they're going to do it in a lot of countries. And I think they'll start slow. I think they'll just chip away at the easier money and potentially go into people's retirements and retirement funds and stuff and just say, look, there won't even be a world to retire to. You don't even need this money. If there's a nuclear war, we're all done anyways. You don't need that money. Wouldn't you feel better if you did everything you could to fund this war so that we could beat those nasty Russians, right? That's what I suspect. Yeah. Will.
I'm getting so angry when you're speaking because it's, I can just sense that that's what's going to happen. And there's no more brilliant plan for them to create and manipulate us. So we just give it to them. We give it freely. Mm-hmm. And
I almost feel like, you know, but here, like in the US, I don't even feel like they have to try to like get us on board. They just, with a stroke of a pen, like Biden,
100%.
Biden today just like sent over billions of dollars after, you know, after Zelensky had his, you know, his plea for money and for support. So what really irks me is that like, there's no accountability as to like where exactly all that money is really going or like how it's being distributed. And always with war and anything national security related, they can always like throw it into those like black pockets where it's, you know, for national security purposes, we can't say where this money is actually going. So it's like on some level, it just seems like such a huge like money laundering scheme. You know, it's like a way to take a lot of money and to put it into things that aren't really, just like the charities, you know, like not actually going to what it says it's going to, which is frustrating. But I definitely think there's something to the retirement piece too, because I think we've already been primed that it's unlikely that Social Security will be around by the time we age into it. So
can they like stop taking it out of my check or?
Exactly, right.
Like, will we have money back? Like, it's so bizarre.
That's why too, speaking of that. So one of the things that I'm looking into for my business is when you get paid, when you're getting paid for your genius, you don't have to claim it as income. It's only taxable when it's income. If it's a donation or if it's a gift, they can't tax that. So I'm not talking about being a shady person and not, you know, some people get a little bit miffed when they think, oh, what do you mean you're not contributing? No, I think we all contribute. We've contributed a lot. I create a lot of jobs in my company. Like and I've helped a lot of people. I'm not going to apologize for finding creative ways. It hasn't been as big of a priority as some other things, honestly, but I am looking into that. So as I mentioned before, the driver's license will be my next thing. And then totally emancipating myself from income taxes. I won't be able to avoid spending taxes, right? Because they're going to tax you on the pack of gum that you buy or whatever you're buying, right? But at least that way, I don't have to do that. I think that one of the ways that they're going to facilitate the you own nothing and you're going to be happy, because I mean, if I'm in a war or if I'm a victim of ecocide, I'm going to be really happy that I have a shelter over my head, right? Like my standard for happiness is going to change dramatically when I'm homeless and my insurance company isn't going to replace my home because it's an act of nature, like what they've done in Australia, right? Like they magically hit the most sovereign part of Australia with crazy flooding and none of those homes can be rebuilt. And they're going to magically have housing available for them, which is probably going to be this compact stuff that we're talking about, right? And, but you will be happy because at least you're not on the streets sleeping beside rats, right? Like their definition of what happiness is going to be for us, I think, is going to be very different than what.
And that's the whole equity thing too. It's like you'll be happy because you'll be at the same level as everyone else and there's no more competition.
Yeah. And they've pulled it off successfully in countries like Sweden, right? Where you're just really not allowed to seem like a bragger. You're not really allowed to do better than other people. It's frowned upon if you're not trying to fit in and be like everyone else in the country. And there's other countries that have done that too, right? But it's, they've already done the social experiment on that. They know how that's going to play out in humanity. And they're conditioning the rest of us to move away from individuality and into that whole group thing sort of mindset anyways.
So going back to emancipating from the taxes, is that by just becoming like a master at natural law and understanding the system well enough to just kind of find the ways out of it and being able to justify, you know, if you're ever like challenged or audited in the future?
Yeah, it's, you know, the emancipation is interesting, right? Because you still have to use the courts in order to do it. And the courts are pretty backed up right now. So thinking that our way out of this is legal or through the law, I don't know how I feel about that because, as I mentioned before, there's so many cops that don't even know the law. There's so many bylaw officers that don't bother to know the actual bylaws, right? And a mandate, as we know, is just a scarier way of saying guideline. If these were all called guidelines, none of us would have been following them because they sound too invitational. But mandate, because it's not a word we usually use, sounds scary. So we follow these mandates, right? But neither of them are enforceable. other than they are, because someone in a position of power who has the potential to put handcuffs on you or close your business or take you away from your kids or whatever, can use their own ignorance as a way to kind of screw you over. But with the income tax, you definitely, this is why I think people need to be fortified financially before they do that, right? Because you definitely want to have some alternative plans in the event that, like, even in my industry, there's a CRM called Kartra. And one of my friends posted a very innocuous blog about how to make informed vaccine choices. And this was 2 years ago. She had a letter sent to her from Kartra that said, we are going to freeze your account. So she has thousands of emails on her list that she markets to. They gave her 24 hours to take the blog down, or they were going to seize her assets and seize all of her contacts. You just proved that you're owned, first of all, but like, this is the danger we run into. So it's mm-hmm. fine to not pay your taxes, but if they're going to find other ways to come at you, and we're seeing already that they're doing that, right? With the trucker convoy, for example, going after people's bank accounts and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I would imagine that they have, I had said this to someone the other day. I'm like, they probably have drones at these protests, regardless of the protest. And, I guess someone was walking around the Ottawa convoy. It was a lawyer that was walking around taking video footage and looking up every so often, cause he would see a drone. But if you're in the crowd, you're not going to notice the drone, right? So they're already probably doing facial recognition and coming after people. I know in France, they were taking pictures of people's license plates that were protesting and stuff. Right. So my point is that that's probably the trickier area, because there's other ways that if you're not fortified, they can come at you. And then you have to live with, well, was it really worth it for me to avoid paying taxes? As it is now, I pay taxes as a means of protection, basically, like just mm-hmm. to stay off the radar, right. as opposed to obviously believing that taxes are actually going where I'm being told they're mm-hmm. going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
And when you say fortification, does that just mean like financially free enough to be able to pay for like any consequences, or I guess, or just having enough diversification that you have, you know, like some backups in other areas in case one system fails?
Mm-hmm. To give you an example, there's a naturopath here that, because right at the beginning of 2020, all the naturopaths, so there were many industries, but I'm just going to talk about naturopaths. They mm-hmm. were told that if they even remotely gave out any guidance about how to boost their immune system, that they were going to lose their license to practice. So there was a naturopath that at the beginning of this said, screw you, I'm going to speak my truth anyways. And she had already been on the world stage for many years talking about this kind of stuff. So sure enough, they withdrew her license, but that wasn't enough. Then they seized her bank account. And they started screwing with her mail. And so they'll find other ways to get you, right? So there's, if your business is dependent upon mailing things out and they're going to come at you for your mail, which was the case for her, then we need to know, well, what are the alternate plans, or who's going to help you? Like who else can help, you know, disperse things that are needed? How can you keep your money in different places that, you know, maybe it's not so easy to find, definitely mm-hmm. having, like we talked about, things to trade and stuff like that. I don't want to be too Pollyanna and think that we can insulate ourselves from that, right? But I also feel like, we can insulate ourselves well enough. Like there's also another couple that I met recently, and they had to flee Ireland because they were speaking out against the government, and next thing you know, all of their assets had been frozen, and they just picked up and went to Mexico because they didn't really have much choice.
Do they, right? So do they even give like an end date, or is it just like frozen indefinitely?
With them, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They haven't been given an end date. So I don't know if they even have an end date, or if it's, keep in mind, like it's not our money. We like to think it's our money.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. So in their mind, we signed on the dotted line without even really knowing what we were signing, as we know. Right. And so mm-hmm. in their mind, they're doing nothing wrong.
Of course. And also to speak to the naturopath thing, at the beginning of COVID, I have a naturopath who was posting, blogs and videos about the same thing, like immunity boosting and ways to kind of protect yourself way before, you know, like the vaccines or anything came out. It was at the beginning. And the same thing happened to him. I had sent an email to the practice asking why a certain video like didn't come up when I got an email that mentioned it would be there. And they had to let me know that it's because he was getting threats. And there were people that were saying that like his license would be revoked if he continued. So like that hit really close to home for me. And I just think it's just, in, you know, like just after living here for so long, you just would think this would never happen, but it is. And it's just mm-hmm. like so unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. It really is quite astounding. It's astounding to see how much they're in it for the long game. Mm-hmm. Like they've got all the time in the world in yeah. their mind, right? They'll just let this, they don't care. To see the lengths that they're willing to go to see the joy and pleasure they get out of taunting humans, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're all humans, but you get what I mean, because they view us as little peons. One of the infiltrators in my space, Sasha Stone, I don't know if you've heard of him or not. He's a lying sack of shit. If you're watching, I'm busting you. He was calling us homo sapiens at the beginning of 2020, right? So this is an example of how these folks get, where they act like a honey badger. They play one on TV, but there's mm-hmm. like this hollowness behind their front-facing concern and disgust with how humans are being treated. But then he kept calling them homo sapiens, I should say, but mm-hmm. speaking about this, and this is what I noticed with a lot of them. Like I can probably bust some people on here, right, in my space, because they're openly flashing their Freemason symbols, right? So it's on them, right? They outed themselves. But someone like Robin Sharma, if you know the guy that wrote The Monk That Sold His Ferrari.
Yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
So when he speaks about humans, it has that same level of arrogance, right? Like, I'm pretending that I care about you and I want you to achieve your goals, but it's got this thing to it. It's like a... it's a disconnect. It doesn't add up, because if I tell you I care about you, you're going to feel that, right? You're just going to feel the energy transmit to you. But when a lot of these guys do it, it's hollow, and they have a bit of a disdain when they speak about the humans, I'm mm-hmm. saying, right? So, yeah. Anyways, I can't remember what I was going to say. There was something about, we were talking about emancipation, right? And fortifying. Mm-hmm. So I think it's having a local community, because you potentially need people to have your back in a variety of different ways. You may need resources or to trade resources, to have a diversified portfolio, so that it's not all sort of, you know, messed with, and having things to trade, like I mentioned. I think, you know, for all these people that it's happened to, they usually give you some sort of condition, right? Like, shut your mouth and we'll let you have your money again. And most times they don't shut their mouth though, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what happens, but I think they do learn to walk a finer line when it comes to this, so that they can still do their work. Yeah. That's the mindset I'm in. I came here to do this work. And so I'm going to be as creative as I can in finding ways that I can be helping people out create the matrix.
Well said. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about emancipating yourself off of the corporate matrix and your work mm-hmm. revolving how you can help people make their own money so that they're self-sufficient in order to outcreate mm-hmm. the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first thing that we would probably have to break down is people's relationship to money, and how that could help or hinder somebody creating more money so they can be self-sufficient.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because when we have a job, it stands for just over broke. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you make.
Oh, when you, I love
that. Whether you have a six-figure income or whether you're making 30K or 500K or whatever, when someone says, here's what you're worth, and they give you a money ceiling, and then you agree to it, it's like a double-binded money ceiling, in my opinion. And so I don't really see anyone, if anytime I got a bigger raise, the money still found a way to go somewhere other than my bank account, right? There's always, it's weird how in a job, your expenses somehow always seem to rise to what your income is, so that there tends to not be a lot left over. I'm in my business, even to this day, I will spend time versus money if I can to reach more people. like both of you doing this podcast, for example, there's a ton of ways to monetize that, for example, in a way that feels good. But I think you don't really need a lot of money, if any, to start a business.
I feel like you're speaking my language when you were talking about expenses and salary. I have been in the corporate world for about 8 years with this one job for about 5 years. And the thing that I always hear and that my coworkers and my managers will say is, we're so lucky to have this job. And do you know how many people would want this job and for what we do and how much we get paid? And that's like supposed to make us stay. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And so
it would be hard, right? Because you know the energy of a corporation is literally death, right? Like it's a corporation, right? So exactly. It's got to feel weird to be in there. And then on top of that, knowing that, I mean, I don't know where you work, and I'm not going to ask you to share during the recording, but for most corporations, we know that they're owned as well. So knowing that, you know, the matrix is benefiting off of you even more because they're getting your labor, right? And they're getting your time, which is your most important resource, right? And so I think it's probably good to go on. I know not everyone likes Facebook, but honestly, most of these platforms are owned. Like this is a way I outcreate the matrix, right? I use their own platforms against them to spread information. I just do it in a smart way, right? And talk in code. But there's a lot of Facebook groups on like people starting out in business and stuff, right? Just getting into the world, speaking the language, figuring out what people are doing. I wouldn't recommend an MLM. I'm not fully allergic to them, but I do. Well, there's some of them are good products, right? But like, if you look at Mary Kay was a man, right? As their typical Baphomet gender inversion bullshit that they pull, right? As with many of these companies. And is it any surprise that Mary Kay has been on the world stage for as long as it has? Who's sustaining that? Given that they control the narrative and they decide who's on the world stage, right? So anyways, you know, there are some MLMs that have good products and good people, but that's the quickest thing people are going to want to sell you when you're trying to leave corporate. They want to sell your business in a box, right?
Definitely.
You've probably been pitched a ton of times.
Oh, a ton. It's that DM when I get, hey, girl, I haven't talked to you since high school. That's when I know. I'm not going to open this message.
But it's only been
a year since I've awakened. And the second probably 2 months after I awakened, I felt dead in my job. Absolutely dead. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where it's like, I got sick, physically sick. And so I've taken a leave of absence so I can heal. And I'm in that zone. And I think you described it as excited and nervous, nexcited. Mm-hmm. I'm in that zone right now where it's like I'm in this limbo phase of now what? So it's a process.
There's so much to do. Any kind of service that you can offer, right? Like I just, I got asked to hire some people that are coming through a government grant. And you know how I feel about the government, right? So I thought, okay, well, if I can provide some jobs, and these are people that have had lost their jobs for a variety of different reasons, it became clear to me that the people researched my company and they specifically asked to work for my company. So I was like, do I really want to get into payroll and all this kind of stuff? Anyways, as we're finalizing the deal, they send through this paperwork. They're like, okay, well, we just need you to sign these really long documents saying that you're going to agree with all of the COVID protocols and blah, blah. And I'm like, the fuck I am. I will not be agreeing to any of these protocols. Have you not researched me at all? Right. Like this is the company, not the people that have applied. And And then I was like, I just went on a big rampage. I'm like, not only will I not be, I'm like, cause you know, some people want to wear their masks over Zoom calls and stuff. I'm just more comfortable if everyone's wearing a mask.
I just can't. We don't
do that here, right? Yeah, I can't even handle that.
So embarrassing.
So I said, I'm a virtual company, but not only am I not going to be playing the game and telling you what you want to hear, I actually only want applications from people that are no longer employed because they chose not to get an injection against their will and lost their job accordingly. That's who I want applying for these jobs. And I want you to put that in writing in my file. They're like, okay. So needless to say, they came back with me again and they were trying to accommodate it, right? Because I think they get a percentage of the grant too, right? This company. I just said, you know what? I appreciate it. You actually just made me realize how mad I am at the government and how I can't play along with this. Like, I just can't do things that are out of integrity and feel misaligned. So thank you for helping me get clear that there's literally no terms that the government can give me in order to give me money to give someone a job. I'll just give them a job.
Yeah. Right?
If I feel aligned. And, yeah, but anyways, I think, you know, there's grants out there too, right? There's self-employment grants that aren't necessarily through the government, by the way. They can be through different philanthropic organizations. So you may want to look at that. I might consider while you're off looking at like, what do you like to do? And then where might I even be able to intern for a little bit? Like, I'll tell you, in my world, there's always a demand for virtual assistants. There's always a demand for social media managers and strategists. There's always a demand for podcast editors, podcast bookers, things like that. There's always a demand for branding experts and, you know, things along those lines, right? Not to mention maybe having associate coaches in the company or trainers or sales experts that, you know, can make 15K a month just by selling high-level programs for online companies and things like that. So there's a pretty huge demand in the online world. And it's just a matter of figuring out where is my zone of genius and then what makes the most sense for me to do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we're coming up on, oh my gosh, where did the time go? We were just in a wormhole. Oh my goodness. Well, we always like to take the time to make sure that, not take the time, but we always like to ask if there's anything that you feel called to tell our audience that are listening right now, that we just give you the platform to kind of like speak what's on your heart before closing out.
Oof. There's so much. I mentioned to you before we started recording that I was going to go on the big Jesus and Bible kick, but I might have to save that for another day because that's like a whole other. I ask people, who is Anne Frank? Who is Anne Frank? If we know that they control history and they control what history comes forward into the next generation, there's a ton of people that would have been in Nazi Germany, right? Why her? Just throwing that out there as possibilities, right? To just unpack that kind of stuff, because it doesn't mean we have to have the answers, but if we can live in the question instead of always living in the answers, then we expand our consciousness to be able to see things how they are versus how they want us to see, because they control the knowledge. So everything we know it because they've decided we're allowed to know it. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about things like science and gravity and the shape of the earth and, you know, all of these like ancient historians and Einstein and Newton and whoever, right? Like the narrative around all of these things, it's been very controlled and they control the knowledge. So what if we can, this is part of the emancipation process, right? Is extracting our consciousness from things that are actually partially false or completely false. And we only know that when we start asking questions and operating under certain principles that we know the matrix functions under.
Mm-hmm. Because once you see and once you start to realize how the matrix works, it's pretty easy to capture these things. I feel like once you see it, it's honestly, I don't think you can unsee it.
Yeah. Yeah, when we heard that the Russia-Ukraine war was going to start, we were hearing rumblings maybe about 2 weeks before it happened. We weren't surprised when it happened because we already knew it was coming. Not to mention that the whole Kool-Aid stuff was being dropped like 2 years ago about Hillary and her connections with the Ukraine. And so for the people that are buying into the Mr. Trump Stillskin, right, they, well, I can't handle him. Yeah, I call it drinking the Kool-Aid in worship to Trump Stillskin, right? It's like a Catholic thing, right? The Kool-Aid is red. There's a lot to unpack. And at the same time, we've still got to find ways to live, like we were talking about before, right? Like how much, maybe it's that we need to set better boundaries with ourselves and decide how much of my consciousness is the circus act going to get every week? Mm-hmm. How much am I going to dedicate to that? And then, if I don't know how to create the 5D timeline, but I know that's where I want my energy instead, then who am I going to start linking arms with that does know how to do that, that can practically show me, right? Like the people that teach about natural law, the law of mankind, people that teach about crypto, people that teach about how to grow your own food and how to, you know, germinate your own seeds and how to freeze dry your own stuff and can't, like, whatever it is that we feel that we need to know, right? It's all available for us to know it. And that's a good way to channel our energy, is doing something productive and something that's actually going to benefit us.
Yeah. And I loved how you said that you have to make sure, like, who's going to have access to your consciousness? Like, are you going to really binge watch Love is Blind for 9 hours? Because I accidentally did that the other day and it felt good in the moment, but that right hemisphere of my brain was being accessed a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. So we all do it. There's no judgment around it, right? It's just to say, there's a reason why they want us to have bingeable content. Mm-hmm. And it's not for the reasons again, this is our idea. We think, oh, we wanted bingeable content. We didn't know bingeable content existed until they presented it to us.
Good point.
Absolutely. And a lot of the bingeable content is reality TV. And I find it interesting because reality TV is like one of the cheapest things to produce. So it's just really
easy.
It's
so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not surprising why it's become so big.
Yeah, that's
it. Started
weakness.
With O.J. Simpson, right? Mm-hmm. That's how it all started. Mm-hmm. That whole psyop on the world stage to get us interested in reality TV.
And isn't it interesting the connection to the Kardashians too through that whole case?
Totally. Oh. And then the whole writer's strike, remember? They had the writer's strike, which wasn't really a strike. But then when they had the writer's strike, then they were able to say, you know what? This strike cost us a lot of money. And all of you screwed yourselves, but people seem to like reality TV. So we're just going to actually bring in a lot of reality TV because it's cheaper to produce. Well, no, that actually wasn't true. But again, making it our fault or our idea. Mm-hmm. But that's, mm-hmm. you know, as we know. And then, of course, they put all of these people on the world stage that are Satanists and getting gender modifications and stuff. And I don't care if people are getting gender modifications, by the way. I do care when you're doing it to deceive people and you're doing it in worship to your God. That I care about. But if you're a regular person that feels like your gender isn't what it is, go nuts and do whatever you want to do. It's your body. But like I said, when it's from a place of deception and worshiping all of this Luciferian, satanic stuff, then I take issue with that. So I guess we didn't really wrap up there, did we?
we're just in another rabbit hole. Here we go. Buckle up. It's nice to have these kind of conversations. You know, we don't, mm-hmm. this isn't a normal conversation that we can just have during the 9 to 5. So mm-hmm. it's nice to indulge and talk about all of these things.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Nicole, do you have any final questions before we wrap up?
No, I think that's usually the last one, just kind of anything kind of to part with our audience. And then the last question that we ask is, what song penetrates your soul?
Ooh. Okay, well, I don't know that it's really a song and I don't know the name of it, but when I go to any of those Riverdance kind of productions, like Lord of the Dance or River Dance, that kind of Celtic music, but that like last dance song, do you know the song I'm talking about? Yes.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that weird that just like popped in my mind? I don't know if that's...
It really makes me cry. It's like a visceral homecoming sort of probably past life thing for me, right? Like it catches me off guard. My husband thinks it's hilarious because my eyes start to water every... So he'll put it on in the house as a surprise because it's not because he wants me to enjoy the music. It's because he likes seeing me get all like teary-eyed when I hear this music.
Is that the song? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I have to Shazam it later. I feel like St. Patty's Day is, I feel like they play that song like on repeat too on St. Patty's Day.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What a Matrix trap, right? Like, cool. Like, time to drink green beer and celebrate a holiday that we have no idea why it exists, but
exactly.
It's like Cinco de Mayo. Where can our audience find you?
Well, as I mentioned, you can find me on Facebook, which I know seems weird, but I legit feel like I'm meant to be there for the reasons that I shared before, right? And kind of transmuting some of the density there. But people can also find me at souljourneys.ca, and that is my website.
Awesome. Okay, we'll make sure to keep that, and we'll have it in our show notes for this episode, so everyone will be able to find you there.
And I hope you can come back on. I feel like we have so much.
I hope so too.
We could have just done 4 more episodes. So please come back on. You are home here.
I will. Thank you.
Aww. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Level complete.